Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lincioni, your host, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How are you doing, Cody?
I was going to not say great, but I'm just going to go with great. I don't have my list of synonyms in front of me, so great works.
You're doing great. We got Tracy Noble. Tracy, how are you?
I'm awesome today.
Awesome. She's even better. We got Matt Lincioni, not on the mic. He's our engineer. He refuses to join the mic. He doesn't want to do that right now. We're finding a way to twist his arm. All right. So Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, the most exciting title we've ever had, Pairings and Labels Part 1. But actually, the content is really exciting.
Yeah, not pairing like P-E-A-R, but yeah. Pairings and labels. Hey, it is going to be fun. We're going to let you into our discussion about how we're describing and labeling the different pairs of working genius. And if there's 16 types, I mean, you know, there's the six types of working genius. I mean, if there's six types, there's 15 permutations and combinations that go together, pairs. And so what we've been doing lately in our conference room, I wish you could see it because it's all over the board. We have been talking for the last month about what label, what description would you use to describe each one of these pairs. And today we're going to explore three of the 15 pairs, the three that correspond to Cody, Tracy, and me. And while we're feeling pretty strong about this, you guys are insiders on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And there's like 10 or 12,000 people that listen to this regularly now. And we want to solicit your input. If you think that you like something or you don't like it, or you have some insight for us, that's great. So did I do that well, Tracy? Does that describe it?
That's great. Yeah, that was a great description.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Cody?
Before we jump in, I think the thing I would say is this is sort of what we promised after season one was like, hey, we're going to go back and dive back into exploration of the model because there's so much more there. And so we have for months been putting these different combinations up and throwing people that we know into those buckets and then figuring out what is true about them and trying to come up with ideas that this is not to go around labeling people with these two pairings, but it's to help people accept and sort of felt seen and known by going like, yeah, that's kind of what I feel like I do. And it's not just these labels. I think the next step of this is that we want to put like, hey, here's what this type of person brings to a team. And here's how your teammates can actually utilize a person with this pair. And so this is all wet cement. And so we're going to explore these words that we're using, but by the time it gets to, you know, concrete, I think we're not quite there, but this will be so fun because I think at the end, what we'll ask is, hey, reach out to us. Let us know, does this resonate with you?
Yeah. And it's worth saying, like, why does this matter? It really is helpful when somebody finds out their two letters and they're feeling, I think this is me, to say, here's how we describe that kind of person. And so often already in our testing, people have said, oh my gosh, that's exactly me, or that's my friend. So it's good confirmation. It makes it easy for people to resonate because somebody, you might talk to somebody, go, I'm an IT. And then you go, well, that really what they are is this. And people can say, oh, I can get that because I know what those words mean. And it's darn fun. It's just darn fun to come up with these labels.
And I think the way to think about it is like, you know, the what we've sort of codified or what is like quote unquote canon of working genius is still the descriptions of each of these individual geniuses. Like someone has galvanizing and tenacity. This is sort of a icing on the cake of like, hey, I want to explore that a little bit more. What does that mean? And what sort of like nuances could I go about the pairings? Because right now we just have the like, hey, here's what discernment means and here's what galvanizing means. But when you put them together, what does that look like? So it's really, really fun exploration.
And we should probably say that it doesn't matter the order. We're not saying like the difference between a GD or a DG. We're like, no, it's just the pairings. We're not going to do that many combos because we're not really sure. You know, it's hard for people to say, this is my first and this is my second. It's the pair that matters most. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And we should probably tell you Tracy, why don't you describe, you're in that room right now. Why don't you describe what the whiteboard looks like and what's on there so people have a sense of what this is like?
It's beautiful. No, it's actually quite a mess. It's a gigantic whiteboard. It's actually an entire wall. And we've got each one of the pairings up there. We've got a list of names. We've got the labels. And there are quite a few labels. We actually have maybe five labels crossed out per pairing. And then we've got some struggles and some attributes under each one of the pairings as well. So it's like, it's this beautiful mess that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, we've been crossing things out and adding names. So like oh, I have another friend who's a WD. So let's talk about that. So we're using real people and dissecting them and asking ourselves, is this relevant?
The last thing is, I think it's kind of interesting to know that we're using the working genius model to develop these. Like, so basically we have Pat, who's an inventor, go up and come up with a potential label. And then we have discerners behind you sitting there and going like, I don't think that's exactly right. So that's why we have four or five of them crossed out. So anyway.
No, but you know something, Cody, I think it's worth saying that I went in there one day and we wrote up all the combos and I just started coming up with words because I love to do that. And I don't know if any of the words that I originally came up with are still there.
Oh, no, they are.
Are they? Okay. Yeah. But we've been refining it. And so let's talk about the first one today. Let's talk about Tracy.
Okay.
Tracy's combination is either DE or ED. So she's a DE. That means discernment and enablement. And we went through this and here's what's the label you are what, Tracy?
I am the insightful collaborator.
The insightful collaborator. That means she works well with people. She's some of the other phrases we talked about, you know, like she's the partner and the most awesome teammate is this because they want to help and they're really thoughtful about the way they do that. So we said the insightful collaborator.
Yeah. And so think about this, like it's really hard to find just two words and each of these words has to correspond to one of the genius letters, right? So insightful is the discernment sort of thing. Like she also has enablement, but it's not just that she's helping people indiscriminately. She's actually using her discernment to be insightful about the way she's coming alongside someone. So like, as you'll see, as we go through these labels, like one of the words is more aligned with one of the geniuses, but together they sort of create this nuanced, you know, picture of that. The other ones we had in mind for this was like a thoughtful partner, right? Like a really intentional, thoughtful person that would come alongside, or even a compassionate advisor, someone who the advisor part then speaks to the discernment, right? Like I'm going to counsel you in the right direction. And the compassionate part speaks to the enablement process. So all of those words, we landed right now on the insightful collaborator. And I think that as we asked Tracy, like, does that fit? And she's like, oh yeah, that sounds like me.
It's actually great to have that label because when you're describing it, you're describing the working genius to other people and you're a DE. It's really easy for me to say, well, the way it's described is I'm an insightful collaborator. So it's a really good thing as you're trying to describe your type to others to have that label.
Yep. So you're my editor, but really, so I write and you give insights and you're collaborating with me and helping me along. You're perfect at that. Mm-hmm. And you and Karen and Danny, three people in our office, are all insightful collaborators. And it completely makes sense. And all of them said, that's me. And that's what's the great thing about this. The other thing is people who aren't this type are like, that's not me. Yep. People know I would never describe myself that way. So that's what we're going for in these descriptions is things that the people that have those types would say, that describes me to a T. And people that don't would say, nope, I can't relate to that one. Mm-hmm. So that's who you are. So we'd love to, hey, if you're having thoughts about that, if you're a DE or an ED out there listening to this, we'd love for you to say, that sounds like me. I can't wait to tell somebody. Or like, well, what about this? So it's not, like you said, it's not in cement yet. We'd love to get your input. Are we ready to talk about Tracy's, the dark side of each type yet?
Oh yeah, let's go there.
The dark side. I love that. We did actually on this, and I think this is helpful as like the goal here is to have a one pager that would be like, hey, here's the label. Here's what it looks like, you know, when you're activated and used well, and here's some potential struggles you might have. And under Tracy's, we put, you know, you can be, DEs can be kind of slow to confront. The E part of them might kind of overwhelm the conflict part of it. Although Tracy, you know, one of the things that I galvanize you around is I'm like, hey, Tracy, I want to see you lead with your discernment if you don't agree with that. And that's hard for you because you're so accommodating, you know?
Yeah, the E takes over. Yep.
We were just talking about that today. In fact, Tracy even said, I feel kind of ashamed half the time because I don't make people do things in a certain way. I always accommodate them. And then in the end, my stuff doesn't get done. And I feel like I've let things down and let herself down.
Absolutely. And then the really negative side to that is sometimes the bitterness will set in and I don't like that. Mm-hmm, like I get bitter around those things and I don't, that's not a natural thing for me.
Right. And it's related to the second thing we put in the struggle box, which is self-forgetful. And really what that means is like, you're so focused on being the thoughtful collaborator for other people that you can sometimes forget that you need people to come alongside and help you or you make, you know, so you're always, that's a double responsive type, meaning that you're there anticipating people's needs, always reacting to what's going on. And so there are times where you don't disrupt and say, hey, I actually need something from you guys.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
That really resonates. The thing about people with the enablement genius is they don't like to be enabled as much because they always feel like they should be helping others. So Tracy is not great at asking for help. And so oftentimes with Tracy, Karen, and Danny, and people with this type, by the time they're burned out, they're in tears and people are like, what's going on? And they're like, I'm dying. And like, why didn't you tell me? It's like, because I didn't want to have to. And so they can, it's not martyrdom, but they can be, they can push themselves to that point where they're really, really burnt out.
Yes. No, martyrdom, that is interesting. And that, I think that speaks to kind of that, the bitterness.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know you're like, I know I should have asked for help before, but I just don't feel like I should have to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the ED, the insightful collaborator. It's a wonderful type. Every type is wonderful. I was just describing this to somebody the other day. Every one of these types is fantastic and you need them all, but they're very different. Very different. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about Cody, the DG or the GD. That means he's a discerner. He's got really good gut feel and he's a galvanizer. He likes to get people moving. He likes to rally the troops. So Tracy, what do we call? No, Cody, you can say yours. What do we call you?
The more firm cement here is intuitive activator. So the intuitive part kind of describes the discernment, right? Like you kind of have integrative thinking and kind of understand what needs to happen. And then the activator piece speaks to the galvanizing part of it, which is, then once you understand intuitively what needs to happen, you get people moving around that. And you guys came up with this before I saw the whiteboard and you had me try it on when I walked in there and I was like, yeah, that kind of feels pretty right for me. I mean, that's sort of, I walk in and I go, hey, I'll kind of figure out what needs to happen and then I'll get people moving. So I feel like that is pretty, pretty accurate.
Yeah. And intuitive meaning it's not data driven. Mm-hmm. And we thought, with the other one that was close to this, we thought was pretty good was Matthew said, you're the pushy douchebag.
The pushy douchebag is another
he
one.
He was just teasing Cody. That's not what this type is all about. But so no,
for the real one, there was another version of this was the confident activator, which is, I think, what led Matt to say, yeah, sometimes the confidence can go into the pushy douchebag arena. So, which I didn't think was that wrong either. I tried that on and that seemed to fit pretty well also. So whatever we decide on, you know,
we have had a lot of fun with this. It is really fun trying to come up with this. So the intuitive activator, they don't need a lot of data, but it's not like they're being careless. They are really in touch with like, this feels right. Let's act now. And they get people moving. And we love that about DGs because they're not galvanizing us around something they haven't really assessed, but their assessment comes pretty quickly and it's usually pretty right on. And that's one of the things Cody does around here. He's like, are you kidding you guys? We have enough information. Let's go. And we like going with that.
Which leads to the dark side. And I'll say it so you don't have to say it in my face like this. But one of the things that is on there is it says projects overconfidence. And, you know, I do that. I've gotten that feedback from my wife and everyone that I've ever worked with. And so, yeah, that's definitely true. Generally, I like to say, hey, I thought I was wrong, or I'm not wrong very often. I thought I was wrong once, but I was wrong about that, you know? So I think there is a thing about me in particular, and maybe it's shared with all DGs, is like, because you have this intuition, you want to activate people, it can sometimes project as, hey guys, let me tell you what to do. And I need to wait and learn and I discern with other people before I start the galvanizing of that.
Right. But the thing about it is the reason why all of these things, you take the difficult parts with the good parts. Mm-hmm. Because for every 10 times Cody activates us around something he feels intuition, he's right about it 8.5, 9 times. That one time he's wrong is hard, not because he doesn't want to admit he's wrong, because he trusts his gut so much.
Yeah.
That you really have to, and Cody and I have been through this, I really have to work hard to get you off of that. But it works 9 out of 10 times, so I want it.
Yeah.
And the other word we wrote down there was, so Cody can be a little bit cavalier, a little too quick to go, yeah, I think we know. And again, yep. I'll take that cavalierness and that projection of overconfidence, because 9 out of 10 times he's right.
One of my reflections, and this might be helpful for other DGs, is, you know, working genius is a sequence of how work gets done. It doesn't always happen in sequence, but what I find more often when I'm the negative side, which is overconfidence or cavalier, I'm G-ing before I've discerned, I'm galvanizing before I've discerned it, or I have to clarify, am I discerning or am I galvanizing? Because oftentimes I'll just, because those are so close together, I'm discerning, but it feels like I'm already pushing people to action. You know,
right.
And so I need to clarify that. And that's helpful for my colleagues and people in my life.
You're exactly right, Cody. It's like the beauty of these pairings is that you can emphasize one or the other. And sometimes we can say, hey, let's just use your discernment. You don't have to galvanize.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to do mine now, I guess. I'm the ID or the DI. And that would be the invention and discernment. So I like to invent, come up with things from scratch, and discern and evaluate things. I like doing both of those things. When you put those together, we've had a hard time labeling this one, probably because the words we get used for other things, but we're calling this the discriminating innovator.
And you know what's interesting right out of the gate, and this is, I think Tracy shares this, is this feels like the most wet cement one. Like there's still something in our discernment that says those are not the exact right two words for this. And in fact, we've used so many other labels here to get here. We had an integrative inventor one time. We had an insightful innovator. And again, this is like trying to get, these are people who invent and discern their invention. So most often they're really insightful. They're using invention and discernment in a loop simultaneously. So they often don't invent terrible things.
Well, you know, and I think it's worth saying, because when people are hearing this, they're kind of like, oh, so you're describing yourself? It's like, we have all kinds of names on the board. If we were only using ourselves, we'd have no confidence. But there's a number of other people that we know that are inventors, discerners. And we look for like, what do they all have in common? And one of the things we realize, so I'm not just talking about me, is that the discriminating and innovator, the ID, actually doesn't, most of their ideas are not harebrained. They've really thought. So we said discriminating. We also wanted to call it the practical inventor, but practical is not a good word to describe me. But our inventions are actually pretty on, because we do iterate as we go.
Yeah. The discriminatory or discriminating innovator. Innovator is a good word because oftentimes they like to come up with things out of nothing, or they like to disrupt the status quo. Or so it does have an innovation element to it. And then like you said, it's not like it's going to be a harebrained idea. But one of my favorite, Pat, you tried to work in the word, I think you wanted to just call this one the genius, right? Isn't that what you threw that out there one time?
Super genius. You know what the word we did toy with though was discovery rather than invention, innovator. Because it seems like what I do with more is I discover things, not just invent them, but like figure out what already exists and kind of integrate that. Yeah. Anyway, so we really struggled with this one. Maybe there's an ID out there that has a better idea.
Yeah. We'd love to hear some other IDs. If you have this, podcast@tablegroup.com, or is it podcast at work? It's podcast@tablegroup.com, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, well, let's talk about the downside of the discriminating innovator. And that is all of the people on our list,
including me,
there is an intensity about us, and we're pretty incessant, and it goes right with this, and hard to disagree with. And I don't think it's because of ego. I think it's because we've already vetted our ideas, and by the time we present them, we're feeling pretty confident that it's a pretty good idea. And so it's not like we're like, hey, I had this idea, and we pretty much cast away the harebrained ones, the ones that aren't very good. So by the time we present them, we've thought through it more than the average bear. Yep. And it is a little bit difficult to get us to move off of our things. So intensity, there's an incessant nature to what we do, difficult to disagree with. And I mean, I think those are all good things, but.
this is what I think is so usable about this in some ways is like, you know, when we have these conversations, when we talk about vulnerability, now we're doing a little crossover from At the Table and Working Genius right here. But when we talk about vulnerability, we've sat in rooms with people where we've had them read their Myers-Briggs type or even their Working Genius. And those sort of struggle things, when you say that, Pat, we've been in rooms where other team members will say, oh, you know that about yourself? Like when I'm able to say, hey, you know I project overconfidence. I'm sorry. I know that's a struggle of mine. I'm really working on that. It's a byproduct of the way I'm wired. It's not because I'm just a pushy douchebag. You know, it's like
there's no shame in it.
Yeah. So it,
no,
it
there's really, actually relief.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it really is a very usable thing to tee up some vulnerability around, hey, I kind of show up this way because of the way I'm wired. I know I'm aware of it. I want you to be aware of it so that you can call me on it. Like we all the things that we mentioned, all the struggles of our three types, we are regularly calling each other on it. Like, Pat, you're doing that intense thing right now. What's up? What's up with that? Or Cody, you're really hard to, you're projecting a lot of confidence. Are you sure you're that confident? You know, so it's really, really usable in a team dynamic.
And fortunately, we figured out that look on Tracy's face when she's saying yes, but she's actually not exactly. Yeah. And we're like, you don't agree with you. And she's like,
I see through me every time.
It's taken years. So we described today the insightful collaborator, the DE, the intuitive activator, the DG, and the discriminating innovator, the ID. We'd love to hear what you think about those. It's fun. You guys are insiders. You're the first, 10,000, 12,000 people that are working on this. And it's fun to hear from you. Matt is the guy who gets to read all of the messages that people send. And it's fun for us to look at that. So send those our way.
And I think it's worth saying, like, we are going to put this all together when we're done with it and put it in a PDF or a tool or something that is more usable. So it's not like you have to, don't reach out. We don't have it now. So we have a picture of a whiteboard in our office. So don't overwhelm Matt with requests for, let me hear the other ones. We're going to do multiple series of this until we get through all of them. But at some point we're going to have a document that's like at least a one or two pager that says, hey, here's what this means with this combination. And here's maybe even what roles you should look for. Here's ways you show up on teams and here's ways your teammates can utilize you well. So hopefully at the end of this, it'll be really practical and usable for everyone.
You know, I hesitate to say what I'm about to say because I'm embarrassed, but so literally tomorrow night, we're going to finish the book probably because maybe an idea is a flaky douchebag because I thought I was going to finish it in the summer and I thought I'd finish this, but it really is coming together. Now, the problem is we can't publish it right away because there's not enough paper because it's in the
supply chain crisis.
But anyway, but the point is we're just about done. Tracy, do you think that we'll be able to get these titles in the book? Probably not, huh?
Well, we have to decide, do we want to get them in the book?
Yeah, we can always do it later.
Yeah, that's a good question. We should discuss.
Yeah, we're gonna have to close down the book writing in a couple weeks.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, then. I think that's the end of this podcast, which is just the first in our Working Genius podcast about pairings and labels. And let us know what you think. We can't wait to do the next ones. We'll have people on with each type so we can talk to them, dissect them, and put them on the spot. All right. Anything else, Tracy, Cody, Matt?
I think that's good.
That's it.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We love doing this. We'll talk to you next time on the Working Genius Podcast. God bless.